So our scripture today is from Luke. It's chapter 22, verses 13 through 23. And they went and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover, because they're coming into town, they're going to celebrate the Passover. And when the hour came, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him, and he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he'd given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine till the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is for the new covenant in my blood. And behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. But woe to that man whom he is betrayed. And they begin to question one another which of them it could be who was going to do this. And so this Passover supper that he's talking about here, that is what we have become our Holy Communion. And so what I want to do is try to explain to you what that communion service means for us. And so we talk about the bread. The bread represents the body of Jesus Christ, and it opens a way for us to talk to God that had never been there before. Previously, only the high priest was the one who was going to go inside that tabernacle to talk to God. And when you talk about that veil being torn open, it's really that ability for us to have more of a direct conversation with God that just wasn't there before. So when we think of this, and we have the bread represent his body. Some religions would say that during the communion service, that body becomes part of Christ. That would not be something that we would believe. But what we're doing is we're taking something ordinary, because bread's about as ordinary as you get. It's been a staple around the world forever. And by God's grace and love, we can change it into something extraordinary. Can't be done on our part. Can't be anything that I would say or anybody would say over the bread. It's God's grace and love making that change in that. And so one of the things that I've found in different churches I've been in, and I have family members as well, they will not participate in communion because they don't think they're worthy. They don't think they've been a good enough person that they're able to come forward and do that. Well, if communion was based on us being a good enough person or people, none of us would be able to do that because we've all sinned. And so it's not based on us. It's based on God's love and grace that he can add to our lives if we're willing to let him in. The cup represents a new covenant that he is making with us. Now, a lot of times when people think of covenants, they think of contracts. And this is not a contract. It's not if I do this, you promise to do that. That's a contract. If you're someone's building a house, you have a contract, you say, I'm going to give you, boy, this would be old. I'm going to give you $12,000 and you're going to build me a new house. But whatever that number is, you've made a promise that you're going to get a house, you're going to give them so much money. A covenant is more of a relationship. It's not based on I'll do this and you do that. It's that God is going to approach us, and the question is whether we allow him in our lives or not, but he's going to approach us on a regular basis, and that covenant then becomes God in us. So it's a relationship that we're going to build, and it usually doesn't happen at one time. It's going to be built over time for us to come together. So we're making a promise to obey, and God is telling us he'll always be there. Sometimes I really struggle with words because I think sometimes people take it literally, and this might be one of those times. So when we think of Jesus on the cross, and even though we may say to ourselves, well, we know he's raised from the dead 3 days later after Good Friday. So I said all that to say this. So Jesus had to give up his life on earth to restore this relationship between all the people that came before and all the people that'll come after us is relationship with God. So the reason I'm trying to be so careful here is when we talk about life for us, we think of people either being alive or dead. And so when I say it costs Jesus' life, I don't want you to think he's still not alive. Because he's here. He's right in here today. He's beside all of us. And so for us, sometimes when we reread those things or say those things, we take them literally and think, oh, Jesus died. Well, but he was raised again, and he's still with us today. So it's not that he's gone. It's not that he's not still with us. And so the last part of this is, part of this is doing it so we remember. Because we are inclined to forget things and forget even really important things. I went with Benita yesterday to her class reunion. And she went to a pretty small school, like 30 in a class. That's probably like Sinner, right? Was it close when it existed? Okay, somebody in here graduated from Sinner, right? How big was your class?
I graduated from Selma, 32.
Okay, so Windfall was that same size, okay? It's a small school, it doesn't exist anymore, and so when they have a class reunion, all the classes come back together. So you have classes, the oldest person graduated in 1948, I think, 48, and there was people into the 1970s. And so they all come together for the reunion. This was the first time they could have had it. They didn't meet the last 2 years because of the pandemic. And they'd lost 90-some of their classmates in that 2 years. And that's probably pretty common. I mean, part of it was just the age of the group. Part of it was the pandemic. But when they start talking about things, somebody would say, oh, you remember the time we did whatever down at Al's Soda Shop. Al's Soda Shop building's there, but Al's Soda Shop is not there anymore. And somebody would go yes, and then somebody would go no, and then they would try to remind them. They'd say, oh, you know, we blah, from, and they just couldn't remember. But we forget things. And so part of this is remembering what God does for us each and every day. And it's not only what he's done in the past, and it's not only what he's doing for us this very instant, and it's also not what he's going to do for us in the future. It's for everything. So part of this in taking the bread and the juice is to remind us of what God does for us each and every day. Now in this evening service, I'm also going to talk about communion a little bit. And one of the things that he talked about, Rob talked about in the book, was a lot of times, and I'd never really thought of it this way before, a lot of times when we come forward for communion, and especially this time at Lent, when repentance is so important, we will come and ask for forgiveness of what we've done wrong. And we can do that any day. It doesn't have to be just during Lent, but especially during Lent, we really think about that. And so if we come forward and we ask for repentance, those things are gone away. Well, Rob kind of took it a step further. He said, don't think of it in terms of just things that we've done in the past being forgiven, but think of it in terms more of it gives us a chance for a brand new life. From that point on, when God forgives us for whatever it was we did or didn't do, depending on which way it went, from that point on, we have been given the opportunity, not just as a do-over, a start-over, but to have a brand new life in the Lord. And so what I would encourage you as we go through communion today is to think about that. And not just as a time of asking for forgiveness, but think of it as a prayer on how we can change as we go forward in life. And so the whole idea of part of this communion, and I don't know if you guys notice this, but especially in Christmas songs, they talk so much about peace. And I think a lot of times we think of it in terms of peace as lack of violence. I've come to decide it really means internal peace, where we're not anxious and we're not afraid and we're not worried and all the things that we can have. I was watching Sophia this week. It was just her and I, which is always more fun than when Grandma's around, I'll tell you. It was just her and I, and we were eating dinner, and she said, Grandpa, and I said, what? She said, Grandma says that you worry about us. And I said, well, I do some. She goes, you don't have to. And I said, well, you can say I don't have to, but I'm probably going to worry about you some. So I asked Benita later where that comes from, and she said, So we have a trundle bed, and we let her sleep on the bottom part, so, and we don't raise it up, so she's pretty low to the ground. I am afraid she's going to fall out of it, because her bed has a little rail on it. And so after she goes to sleep, I take one of the extra pillows and lay it on the ground next to the bed. Because if she falls out, she'll just womp on the pillow, right? So Benita, she wakes up, she goes, why is there a pillow next to my bed? And Benita tells her, Grandpa's afraid you're going to fall. And so it allows us, if we allow God into our lives, His grace and His peace, it allows us, although we can be concerned about Him, we don't have to be afraid about things. We can find a peace in our lives. Now, the last part of this, and I've never thought of it this, sometimes I read stuff and I read it before, and it just didn't mean as much to me as it means to me at a different time. I don't know if I'm getting smarter, that's probably not it. But if it's just an issue where I'm in a different place and I think about things differently. And so I know that Judas is at this meal, this Passover meal for them, what is now our communion. And he's in there sharing. And Jesus knows that somebody's going to betray him. And so, and I've never thought about it this way, so for us, we come to church or we come to service or we come to prayer, and a lot of times we promise the Lord that we're going to do things or not do things as the case may be. And we make a pledge, a promise to do that. And then when we're done, we don't do it. We go back to doing what we did before, or we do something that's really not very nice to people, or mean, or all the above, and we don't really think about it till the next time we come back and ask for forgiveness. Well, as I was going through this, I thought, well, in a lot of ways, we're not that much different than Judas. Judas betrayed him where he was given up to the soldiers, but he had promised the group, he was part of the group, that he was going to follow Jesus and do what he asked him to do. Well, a lot of times we do those same things, and then we turn around and we deny the Lord by the way we act and behave, whether it's to others, whether it's what we do to ourselves. And so part of this Lenten service is asking for forgiveness and finding a way to change our lives going forward. And so one of the things I'd like for you guys to think about, especially as we do communion today, is what do I need to ask for forgiveness for? And how can God change my lives so that I'll be a better person going forward? How is He going to work to make me the person that God wants me to be and not just the person that I want to be? And not just a momentary change, but a life-changing thing. A word for communion I'm going to use, there's what I'd like for you guys to do today is sit there and think about the words and what they mean to you. And then we'll call everyone forward, and Jeremy's helping me with the communion today. And you're welcome to kneel at the kneeling rail if you want to pray, or go back to your seats. And once you're ready, go ahead and finish communion. I do have communion, the pre-made communion cups, if you want to use those. So please listen. The Lord is with all of us. We give our thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you. Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, you formed us in your image and breathed in us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce the time had come when you would save your people. You healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered all of us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant, a promise by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of my new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we're so thankful and grateful that we could come this day to worship you. As we take your love and grace into your world that so often is divided and angry, let your love and grace bring a peace to it that it has never seen before, and let us be the start of that. Amen.